You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. My guest is Tom Bach, the museum manager for the Oregon Coast Historical Railway in Coos Bay. For years, Tom and a dedicated team of volunteers have worked tirelessly to preserve the industrial heritage of the Oregon coast, transforming vintage railroad and logging equipment into a hands-on history museum for the community. Welcome to the Exchange, Tom.
Hi.
Your museum's motto is ensuring a future for our past. Why is it important for Coos Bay to preserve this specific type of logging and railroad equipment, and how does it connect to the region's identity?
Well, it was always part of the social and economic fabric of the South Coast from the very early days. And we started with one locomotive and its tender and railroad artifacts, but we quickly realized that logging sort of went hand in hand with the railroading, and so we expanded our scope a little bit for that, and in that in turn created more, obviously more money for the region and more impetus to continue development of it for extraction of resources.
Well, take me back to the beginning. How did this all start?
Well, the company that owned the steam locomotives, Georgia Pacific, when they decided that they had it on, the locomotive was part of the early sawmills. And anyway, they eventually changed over to diesel powered equipment, and they were just had the steam locomotives on standby and finally decided they didn't need them anymore. So they gave one each to five of the communities that Georgia Pacific served in for whatever reason they wanted to do it. So we had that in the early 60s that happened, and the locomotive, old 104 as it's called, was put on display along the highway and as you enter North Bend for many years. And the History Museum was adjacent to that, and they wanted to build a new History Museum in a new location in Coos Bay, and that steam locomotive wasn't part of the plans there, so they donated it to our railroad group, which has existed since about 1982. We subsequently kept it in shape and fenced off outside the History Museum, and sure enough, they got their plans underway to build a new facility. And so it was decided to let us have it, and it stayed in that location for a little while, and then a cadre of volunteers at the time decided they wanted to try to restore it to working condition and offer excursion rides, and they didn't, where it was previously, it was in a parking lot shared with the History Museum, and it really wasn't enough room for us to take the bolts off and do all the stuff that was necessary. So we subsequently moved it to its current location and did some tests on it, but it turned out the boiler couldn't hold pressure anymore, and it would be a real expensive endeavor to replace that. So old 104 just went into a static display at its current location. And then we, over the years, acquired several other pieces of equipment. We now have three cabooses and a steam crane, and specialized things like we have a little switcher engine that worked at the Panama Canal and up on the Columbia River at Bonneville Dam. And
I want to ask you more about that, because
display equipment, and now we also have a blacksmith demonstration education area, and we also are taking care of a little Snug Harbor Railroad, which was a popular little amusement park type ride for many years in Charleston. And then we've got a mini museum with artifacts from the logging and timber railroad industries. And not a week goes by when we don't get some kind of donation of materials and goods. And often they were in somebody's basement as a grandpa's toy train set up or something. Anyway, they bring us that, and sometimes they don't know what it is. We don't know what it is. We put it on display with a little card saying that, help us identify this. So that's kind of a fun aspect of the show.
Well, I definitely want to get more information about that engine that was working on the Panama Canal and the Bonneville Dam. But let me go back real quick to the engine that's over 100 years old. Tell me more about that and its history.
Well, that's old 104, as I said, and for many years it sat outside the History Museum in North Bend on the way into town and sort of languished. They built a shelter over it, but they had to have it fenced off, and that turned out to be a good idea because those souvenir hunters are notorious for taking bits and pieces of that kind of equipment. And
what did it do in its heyday when it was back 100 years ago?
It brought logs down from the woods and to the edge of the bay and dumped them in the water, and then the logs would be consolidated into rafts, and they would pull those down to the sawmills that ring the bay, or did in that day and age. And they would often build a short line railroad into the woods, cut all the trees down, and then pull out the stakes and the ties and use them on another area. So it was a frequent, many, many, many trips from the estuary here in Coos Bay up into the Powers region, and also, I can't think of the name right now, but so it sort of served that pretty much exclusively. And as I said, it was deemed, and they didn't need it anymore, so they donated it to other communities like Renonia.
Gotcha.
Corvallis and Toledo by Newport, Oregon, and
so there are multiple there are multiple cities with these kinds of old engines.
Yeah, and they're still in some places. They're still on display, and they're all equally old. And
The cities work together? Or do you have volunteers that work together to have a network with all of these other engines?
No, not really. We try to keep in touch with some of them. The one in Toledo by Newport is just the same age as ours. So it was 100 years old a few years ago. So we did a little. We made it a cake. I mean, doesn't everybody make their locomotive a cake? And we tried to think of something that we could do some kind of, in the old days, they'd have like a friendly rivalry between towns, but we just couldn't pull it together. And the fact that the towns, don't have newspapers much anymore, that would be the vehicle for whipping up enthusiasm in the old days. When they brought the train here, they had a celebration for a week. They really knew how to party in those days.
Gotcha. My guest is Tom Bach. He manages the Oregon Coast Historical Railway Museum in Coos Bay. Tom, you've also restored a 1949 diesel engine. How does the transition from steam to diesel in your collection help tell the story of technological change?
Well, steam locomotives take a lot more hands-on activity to run. It's quite a system of pipes and things that carry the water and the steam around, and also spray sand down on the rails to provide traction if the weather so deems it. And so there was quite a crew involved, engineer and a fireman, to run it, and a lot of other men. And diesel, just in general, everywhere, sort of was phased out because diesel is just more efficient, takes a lot less shop time for repairs, mm-hmm. and eliminated the fireman's job pretty much.
Well, you have an engine called Old Yellow. Tell me about that one.
Well, that's sort of an orphan. When we went up the coast to a railroad museum in Tacoma that was going out of business, we got their steam crane, which is an awesome piece of equipment. It can go down the tracks under its own power, and it's very handy. It still operates on compressed air when we need it. So when we were getting the parts and pieces for that, And it was, they mentioned that they were going to scrap out this old yellow. And somebody said, oh, no, there are these nutcases in Coos Bay that will give it a new home. And so we sort of collected that up as well. And it's an interesting piece of equipment. When it worked in the canal, it was operated on direct current. And then when it was moved to the Dalles in Oregon, they switched it over to a standard diesel.
So this is the one that worked on the Panama. This is the one that worked on the Panama Canal and the Bonneville Dam.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so we've got that displayed, and it's all static stuff. But kids, one different thing that makes our museum unique is that it's almost all hands-on versus most museums, for a good reason, or say, you know, keep out, stay back. But ours is, you know, that's our sort of cachet thing that we like to tell people. And the kids love to pretend to drive these things, and several of them have bells and whistles, and so we have a fun time. And we're also grandparents' favorite place, because when they've got the grandkids for the weekend or whatever, they take them down the water outfit, and they run them around and use up all their energy for the day.
About how many visitors do you get? Parents, kids, grandparents?
Well, it depends on the time of year. We're open year-round, but we just don't get much activity in the winter months. So we can have as few as 5 people in the course of a day and as many as 50 on a busy summer day. And we're always looking for more volunteers. We're only open Wednesdays and Saturdays. That's probably our only complaint people have about us.
You're open Wednesdays and Saturdays? Wednesdays and Saturdays from what time to what time?
From 11 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Why Wednesdays and Saturdays only?
Well, we wanted to be, the logical thing would be to be open Saturday and Sunday, but people work and have other commitments, so we decided to have a day during the midweek or during the week that would accommodate those folks. And we tried having it open on Sunday. We might try again sometime, but just really didn't get that much turnover, much visitors. So we sort of dropped that for now. But as I said, if the day ever comes when we get more volunteers, we can certainly look at revisit our open closed hours. I should also mention before I forget, we have a Friday Christmas display. All the equipment is festooned with thousands of lights, and that's a real showstopper for the community. And anyway, some people just think we do that, but in reality, there's a lot of other stuff going on. As I also mentioned, we've developed a blacksmith demonstration education area with one of our members, Ethan Benoit, who is a real personable young man and is fabricating things and for our group sometimes. And then he's some of his own wares, like frying pans and things like that. So that's become a real popular attraction when he does that. Well, I mentioned education. It's a really important part of our mission statement, and we really try to reach out to the younger people. And fortunately, there is some interest, and we have a 14-year-old young man even comes down on Saturdays and helps. And we're trying to reach out to other youth organizations as well as the tribes, are a very important part of our community, and we appreciate everything and their support. And we intend to try to reach out even more to them to get them involved in this.
Well, you mentioned that you need more volunteers. How many volunteers does it take to operate the museum?
Well, we can run it on as little as 2 people, somebody on the display area welcoming people and somebody in our, I should have plugged our gift shop and museum, but more people, the better. And we always joke that there's always a flurry of activity towards 4 o'clock when we want to close down. So we're often open extra hours because we don't want to chase people away. It's just that we all have lives and jobs and so forth to attend to.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to leave it there, Tom. Thank you so much for the work you do.
Thank you for taking the time.
My guest was Tom Bock, managing director of the Oregon Coast Historical Railway in Coos Bay.